Welcome to our service for the second Sunday after Trinity. Our New Testament reading today has that wonderful list from St. Paul of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And this first hymn has these words: take seeds of his Spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Sung for us by our son Mike, this is Colours of Day, Dawn into the Mind.
Colours of day dawn into the mind, the sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city and into the street, and let's give a message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn, open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his Spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show.
Let us pray. We know that our old self was crucified with Christ, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Let us therefore confess our sins to Almighty God. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and make your face to shine upon us. Lord, have mercy. May your ways be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Christ, have mercy. Lord, you have made known your salvation and reveal your justice in the sight of the nations. Lord, have mercy. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect, the second Sunday after Trinity. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was ploughing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I'll follow you." And then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I never sing this next hymn without remembering many old friends with whom I sang it for many years in many places in this country and abroad. Such a simple song, but one that somehow goes straight to the heart. "Be still and know that I am God. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust."
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Our
New Testament reading is from Galatians chapter 5. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for What the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit. What the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. These are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, angers, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you've been watching the excellent drama Sherwood on the BBC. It's about a series of crimes in a former pit village in Derbyshire and how they relate to the bitter, lingering divisions there caused in such communities by the miners' strike of 1984. There was a scene in Tuesday's fourth episode, fully 5 minutes long, which really should have been introduced by a continuity announcer saying, "We interrupt this drama for a party political broadcast on behalf of the Socialist Workers' Party." In it, a solicitor representing the National Union of Mine Workers, played by the excellent Lindsay Duncan, says that the Thatcher government wanted the miners' strike. They wanted to change the political landscape of this country away from collectivism towards deregulated market forces. And in order to achieve it, they needed a war. They needed to provoke a strike in the nationalised industries. And they picked the miners. It's really quite spooky, though I believe coincidental, that Sherwood is airing at this particular moment. Listen and compare Sir Keir Starmer speaking this week about the government's attitude to the current railway workers' strike. Boris Johnson and Grant Shapps, he said, want the strike to go ahead. They want the country to grind to a halt so that they can feed off the division. They're stoking division in their political interests. What concerns me in all this, and what I'd like to address again this morning, is what Barack Obama has called truth decay. The attack on truth and truthfulness from both left and right, which now bedevils every area of debate in our culture. Both the government and the RMT union emerged from Wednesday's failed talks, accusing the other side of lying. More of that later. But first, let me touch on the place of truth in drama. When a writer inserts a passage like the one from Sherwood this week, he cannot, of course, be contradicted. If no character in the drama expresses an opposing point of view, and in this case no one did, then the writer's version of the truth goes unchallenged. And the dramatist's control of the narrative too easily enables him to leave out inconvenient truths. In this case, for example, that being called without a ballot, the miners' strike was illegal, as was the secondary picketing at places other than coal mines by which the NUM tried to extend it. The writer of Sherwood is the excellent James Graham, and I repeat that I think the whole drama too has been excellent so far, but I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that when a dramatist writes a five-minute scene like this, he steps outside his proper function, which is to move us and engage us by plot, character and language, not to re-educate us like a Chinese commissar. Nonetheless, I don't think any sensible observer doubted that Thatcher wanted the conflict of the miners' strike, nor indeed that Arthur Scargill wanted it just as much on the other side. They did indeed have conflicting views of what kind of society Britain should be. And in that sense, the miners' strike for both of them had implications much wider than the dispute about pit closures and the future of the coal industry. But what should we make of Keir Starmer's claim that the government wants the rail strikes today just as much as Thatcher wanted the miners' strike in 1984? And on the other side of the allegation put by Richard Madeley to Mick Lynch, General Secretary of the RMT, that he is, like Arthur Scargill, a Marxist, whose fundamental agenda is revolution. There are obvious similarities on the union side, albeit that the strike ballots and the action itself are being pursued with scrupulous legality. Lynch is impressively intelligent, and he argues the case for his members well. But like Scargill, he's also quite clear that he sees their better treatment in pay and in other areas as part of a wider change that needs to happen in society. And he sees the rail strikes as forwarding that agenda more widely also. In passing, let me say that I do not agree with the rail strikes, but it's the truth decay on the government side which concerns me most. On Newsnight on Tuesday evening, Lynch was interviewed along with Chris Philp. Philp is the Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State at the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport. You won't have heard of him before, and frankly, after the interview, you're unlikely ever to hear of him again. One mark of the discomfort which government ministers are feeling about the line they're being asked to take is that the spokesmen they can find to do it are becoming weaker and weaker and more obscure. Lynch is having them for breakfast. Completely convincingly, he called Philp a liar 15 times. Fundamental lie is a simple one. Both in Parliament and in media interviews, government ministers and other Conservative spokespersons have given clearly misleading figures about how much the strikers are presently paid. Time and again, interviewers have had to correct them. They keep saying that the mean or average pay of rail workers is about £44,000. They know full well that that is only true if you include train drivers, who are much more highly paid than all the other rail staff, but that something like 92% of the drivers are members of a different trade union, ASLEF, and ASLEF are not on strike. No drivers belong to the RMT at all, which means no drivers are on strike. The BBC's excellent reality check calculates the average or mean pay of those really on strike as somewhere between £33,000 and £37,000. Which is still not too bad, and which is why, on the whole, I'm not in favour of the strike. But it is the truth decay which concerns me most. The government's lies and half-truths on this subject are taken from the Donald Trump playbook, in which if you tell a lie to the public often enough, even in the teeth of the evidence, you can make it stick in people's minds. So that, for example, fully one-third of Americans still believe that the election of Joe Biden was rigged, despite the fact that there is literally no evidence to that effect whatsoever. It's just a lie, one of the many lies, that Trump repeats often enough so that people eventually believe him. The A Tory average salary lie is the same. It was repeated to me by someone in conversation with complete conviction just the other day. Back in 1984, although I was opposed to the illegality of the miners' strike, I was never happy with Margaret Thatcher's broader agenda. But I never thought she was a liar. Moreover, whereas Thatcher picked the fight with the miners because there was a cause in which she firmly believed and which she honestly stated, Boris Johnson, as Starmer in my view correctly alleges, needs the strike to go on only so that there is more time for his own shattered reputation to recover. It doesn't proceed from any coherent political conviction. They used to say that a diplomat is a person sent abroad to lie for his country. I wish I thought that Conservative spokespersons were being sent out to lie for so noble a cause. But they're being sent out to lie merely to save the skin of their discredited leader, who himself, let's face it, has never been very particular about telling the truth. In the difficult times which are coming, the best the government can do, and what Starmer's Labour Party desperately needs to do, is to articulate a policy to ensure that the burden of those hard times does not fall heaviest on the poor, as, I'm afraid, it usually does. It is an irony, of course, that it was Thatcher's policy of allowing market forces free rein across the economy which resulted in the left-behind post-industrial communities which are now called the Red Wall and which were responsible for Johnson's coming to power. We shall see in the coming months whether he really cares for them or whether that is just another lie. Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En ta der hanoit en nevaith sancte dia de enu, de led dernas gunela de wachlis, megis en ne vechli ar ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bara menyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg. Can you say that ti or dernas, ar gallu ar gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. We pray for the Church of Christ around the world, a rainbow people from every continent, made one through the cross of Christ. We pray especially for Christians who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for governments in this and every nation, facing the enormous challenges of economic decline, environmental depredation, poverty, homelessness, discrimination, as we seek to recover from the consequences of COVID-19. We pray for wisdom and understanding, for strength and courage, for all who bear the responsibilities of office. We pray for the citizens of these islands, whatever their race or creed, that we may together do all that builds up harmony and understanding, and together stand up against all that builds up suspicion and division. We pray for honesty and respect in public life, and for a sense of civic responsibility amongst us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our brothers and sisters in different congregations, in all of our churches and in the chapels locally. We pray for their ministers and for the ministry. We pray for the faithful people who keep their ministry alive. We pray for any who are lonely or isolated or finding the struggle too hard to bear. Lord, assure them of your presence, be with them, and bring them safely through. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us fall. fresh than thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be.
In opening our hearts to your grace, generous God, may we become your goodness. By faithfully following your way, Jesus our friend, may we live out your way of goodness. Make justice and compassion real in our lives, Spirit of God, so that our lives may be embodied goodness. And in the giving and receiving, may all overflow with your grace. God of love, shine in our lives so that others will see your love. God of peace, strengthen our faith to be bold in the face of adversity. God of joy, bless us as we go out in joy to love and to serve. God of love, joy, peace and hope, may your blessing be upon us always. Amen.